You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, happy Valentine's Day Eve to you.
That's very sweet of you, Josh. Now, I guess that does beg the question, if you could be the Valentine of any Premier League player, who would it be?
Santi Cazorla, always.
You always
to hesitate.
Yeah, you always want to be with somebody who's shorter than you. So I think Santi Cazorla is a good pick. I'll take him too. So this podcast is going to be interesting because we've been having some connectivity issues because of it's very windy outside. So I'm imagining, Josh, that we're podcasting live from like the center circle of Britannia Stadium.
That's right. It's a wet and windy Monday night in Stoke.
Yeah,
as a record.
So we'll see if the Always Cheaters can get it done on a wet and windy day in Stoke. Exactly.
So, Brandon, game 25 in the books, and yet again we have more FA Cup fixtures coming up. We have Champions League games coming up. We have a lot of stuff that is not the English Premier League coming up over the next fortnight. So it's kind of an unusual episode for us. We wanted to get something out this week. Next week we'll preview game week 26. So we're going to kind of it's kind of a grab bag this week.
we're gonna
it's like a lot of topics that we put off or questions that we got from Twitter. We're gonna discuss in this week's episode. We're also gonna talk about the Hail Cheater Super League a little bit. We'll talk about our weeks and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, and stay tuned. At the end of the episode, we're going to make some upset predictions for the FA Cup fixtures coming up. So that'll give us all a. It's like the season. It's like the series finale of Young Pope. It'll give you a reason to tune in next week.
Yeah, and I'm really rooting for at least one upset because I don't know that I don't know if I can like mentally handle a Premier League game week that has three fixtures. Like only six teams, like we're all gonna have to triple up on Swansea. It's gonna be gross.
It will be gross. My Tom Carroll pickup though is gonna be worth a real mint, I'm guessing. I wanna see him rise all the way up to £4.3 million.
So Brandon, Davey Pointless Polls said, surprise everyone and don't mention McCauley's legal goal theft. And yet I can't do that, Brandon, because I lost our head to head this game week. Because of the McCauley goal,
it was madness. It was true madness. Now, we're all just regular FPL managers. Reality sort of doesn't need to jibe with our perception of our FPL team. So typically what that means is if I have McCauley on my team, which I do, I see he gets a goal wrongly attributed to him, I should be happy. But this was one of those rare instances where I'm not happy. I feel dirty. I am still team Johnny Evans on this one, even though, yeah, I did win my head-to-head because of this McCauley goal. I have not seen anything even close to a definitive replay showing that McCauley had anything to do with that goal.
I just don't understand. I don't know if it's because more people are paying more attention, there are more camera angles or what, but I feel like every week this season we have some like Opta decision that we all find kind of egregious that we're all talking about afterwards. I mean, do you remember this in earlier seasons? I don't remember spending almost every podcast talking about some crazy, you know, goal that was misattributed to somebody.
Well, the closest we got was, I think last year, Lukaku had a few weirdly attributed assists. But at least in those situations, you could see the logic in the decision.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could see a path to that logic, even if you didn't see the logic at all. But now I feel West Brom has a bit of a reputation where this is concerned, because I do remember having Craig Dawson a couple seasons ago when he committed a red card offense, but I think it was McCauley who ended up getting sent off instead.
Right. So they corrected it later, but I think it was too late for the points to change or something.
Yeah, I think this is the second time I have benefited from Gareth McCauley.
I have heard some like conspiracy theorists like floating out there, this idea that they're doing this for highly owned players or something like that. That like if it's 50-50, they lean towards the player that has a higher ownership. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think that they are just, you know, it can't be strange. They're trying to do the right thing. It's not like they have like some goal. Like it's not like someone at Opta has like a bet that Gareth McCauley is going to have 7 goals this year or something like that.
Yeah, and it's not an FPL conspiracy, because these stats come from Opta, and though Opta stats feed out to the FPL game, Opta is just trying to keep an historical record for this game. And I can't see how they would be in cahoots with the FPL, so maybe...
Yeah. It does seem like intent is sometimes... I'm not sure what the point of, like, you know, particularly things that get called own goals, where, you know, a player has a shot that seems like it's probably on target anyway, but it gets deflected. You know, even Aguero today had a goal that was later corrected to an own goal by Tyrone Mings. But I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, Sterling plays the ball in, Aguero, you know, kicks that ball into the net. We don't know that Tyrone Mings directed it away from the hands of the goalkeeper, right? I mean, it might have gone in anyway. So I'm not sure in that case why that isn't an Aguero goal, you know, just because the direction changed. It feels like it was still an on-target shot.
It's clearly a case of what we often discuss in terms of the U.S. Supreme Court, and this is a case of originalism versus, I guess, interpreting the letter of the law. And, you know, it's going to take Opta getting away from this crazy originalism of what the Constitution says. And let's get down to the heart of what a goal actually is in the year 2017, not just what our founding fathers thought it was.
So, Brandon, how was your game week in the end?
In the end, I think it was okay. I ended up with 69 points, and yeah, the McCauley goal and bonus point really rounded it out. But generally a good showing. Robles with 7 points. Cedric Suarez, who was just like a disaster of a transfer for the longest time, has come pretty good the last 3 weeks. He had that 12-point mm-hmm. game a couple weeks ago, and now he's on 7. But I think that's Cedric Suarez's last action in my squad. Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about Southampton in terms of Gabbiadini. Mm-hmm. But the issue with Southampton is they probably have 2 blanks coming up in quick succession in 28-6 and 28.
Right.
And captains Alexis Sanchez, you and I both went with that captain. We played it safe and went against the whole like first fixture of the game week rule that you shouldn't captain a player in the earliest kickoff.
It was just too, it was too good of a fixture. I mean, it was, and he has such a knack for getting the kind of, I mean, how many times have I been on the other side of this earlier this season where when I didn't have Sanchez and he's, you know, cruising along, he's on like, he picks up a yellow card, you know, and suddenly he's on like 6 points, no bonus. And then right at the end, you know, snags one more goal, picks up all three bonus points. So yeah, so 15 points doubled, great start of the game week.
Yeah. So how about you? I mean, 50, I have all green arrows except for one, the AC, always cheating showstoppers head to head league, knocked down to 25th place. Let's see who actually beat me this game week. Shout out to Andrzej Stepanovic, the Bozzy boys, who beat me on by 2 points.
Yeah, I actually won my showstoppers this week, so I'm in 22nd in that.
Overall, you feel like it was I mean, you were above the league, the FPL average, 47 points.
Yeah, I finished on 63, which I have green arrows pretty much across the board too. I lost almost all of my head-to-heads actually, which is a little frustrating because I'm trying to focus on the heads. To the extent that you can focus on the head-to-heads, you really can't. I mean, maybe you don't burn 4 points that game week if you're playing someone particularly tough, but you know, but it's not a good week in the head-to-heads. But
head-to-heads are a funny thing. I feel like our private head-to-head league that we have with our 18 fellow neighborhood managers, there are a couple of managers who are usually the weakest players in the league, and they're always the ones that you lose to in head-to-head. I wonder if any other listeners out there have this experience where in your mini leagues you always lose to the worst. You catch the worst player on their best week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just me, is it?
No. I definitely feel the same way. But overall, I think I picked up about 300,000 spots in overall ranks. I'm starting to, you know, I had a really rough run for a few weeks there. So even just getting green arrows pretty much across the board, that was a good feeling. I transferred in Victor Moses, which was a transfer that I was a little, I just couldn't decide what to do this game week. The Phil Jones thing was frustrating, and I thought about making a defensive transfer. But in the end, I just thought that Moses made the most sense because I just needed someone who could deliver some points in my midfield. I mean, I have Eriksen and Sanchez, but then I just had two holes there. And with Stanislas not playing now, I kind of have this new problem that I have to solve. But Moses, I just thought it was like a little bit of differential. And so I picked up an assist from him.
I feel like he's good. And, what is he, 5.6 or thereabouts? I feel like he is really decent value at a lower price point.
Yeah, 5.6. And, you know, I thought he might do well against Burnley. And then, you know, they're home to Swansea next game week. So it felt like, you know, it was like a little bit of a punt. But, you know, I certainly happy with 5 points off the bat. I mean, just at that price point, that's about the kind of return you'd want.
I guess if Victor Moses were playing the way he's playing on any other team, I mean, with Chelsea, you've got the likes of Hazard and Costa and any name your defender. I think people are a little shy to bring Moses in because there are other bigger point getters at Chelsea.
Right.
But if you've got a Chelsea spot that you can fill in your side, it is worth a punt.
I've pretty much written off Eden Hazard for the rest of the season. So I've been on and off the Hazard train enough. Maybe a double game week or something like that. But I think otherwise Hazard's not coming in. So I thought I could safely put Moses into that midfield spot.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea has an amazing run of fixtures coming up. Swansea, West Ham, Watford, Stoke, Crystal Palace. And I can see why people are getting really excited about Hazard's wonder goal against Arsenal. But I agree, it's got to be a double game week to take a chance on him.
Yeah, so once again, you had Kapu on your team. Did you think about bringing in Morrison? Was that on the docket?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about James Morrison in last week's podcast. Do I regret it? I was thinking about this after Morrison clocked that assist. I started to sort of weigh the level of regret. And ultimately, because I banked a transfer this week, so now I have two frees, and you know, what's better than having two frees going into a break weekend?
True.
A lot can change. And I think if we weren't having a break this coming weekend, I would be a little salty about not making that Morrison move.
You missed a little price rise, like it's up to 4.7 now.
Yeah, but he's still, I mean, West Brom have a couple of great fixtures coming up, and he plays really far forward.
Mm-hmm. No blank in Game Week 28.
Yeah, I mean, I could still do it, and I'm not going to, I can still afford the Kapoo to James Morrison transfer, but then now I'm on that bubble of, am I chasing Morrison points? And then it's the, I just put my face in my palms because I'm actually chasing James Morrison points.
Right, right.
But this is like one of the greatest regret I have this season is I am now in a position where I'm having to change, you know, players who are between 4.5 and 5 million. And these are the only guys I'm able to interchange in my team at this point. Like my team value is not allowing for a lot of flexibility. I mean, Victor Moses is out of my reach.
I mean, someone like Dele Alli, you could turn Alli into Lallana or something like that. I mean, it's a very frustrating run for these Spurs midfielders. I really thought that we'd see more from these guys.
Yeah, Dele Alli is they still have an amazing run of fixtures. I'm going to keep the faith with Dele Alli. Changing him to Lallana, who seems to be, you know, he's like an injury doubt week in, week out. I'm not sure right. about him. I could see, as soon as these blank game weeks clear up, trying to scooch some money around to turn Alli into Sadio Mane, who, I mean, my God, he was a god among men.
Yeah, destroyed Spurs. Yeah.
It was a bloodbath. But still, I guess every podcast has been debating what's going on with Spurs right now and how they're really missing Danny Rose and what he brings to that for, you know, their best formation or their best 11.
Right.
And I think I would stick with Alli until we know if Danny Rose is coming back, because it looks like he could be healthy when we get back for game week 26. And if that's the case, then Spurs could be back to their high-flying best, and you'll be
happy. It's funny because it was always Dembele back in the day. Remember, it was always, yeah. you know, Kane, when Dembele plays. When, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, Brian. Well, let's enough about our teams. I'm banking at like a decent game week. I'm going into 2 weeks off feeling okay about things. I don't know what my moves are going to be yet. I mean, there's at least a chance I'll end up having to burn four. So, yeah, going into game week 26, we have a few teams that aren't playing, and so it creates a little bit of a headache. I mean, the biggest headache are with, Arsenal players and Man United players and, you know, what to do with those, you know, really what to do with Ibra and Sanchez, right? More than anything else.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to weigh, like, can I bench both of them? I know I was threatening last week that I could transfer Alexis Sanchez, and I'm still very tempted.
Just because you need that value.
I need that value, and it's two blanks in a row, assuming they win their FA Cup match, and then it's Liverpool in between. And the way Liverpool looked against Spurs and the way Arsenal just looked generally, I don't know. I mean, it's foolish to bet against Alexis Sanchez, but
it's a tough call. What's giving me pause is that the Alexis to Costa move is so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, just Ibra. Yeah, sorry. Right. Yeah, the Ibra to Costa move is so easy, and you know they play Swansea at home, frees up a million. It's such a simple move that solves so many problems for me that it's really. And then I can take that million and I can turn Phil Jones into Leighton Baines or something like that, you know, and double up on the Everton defense for the next few game weeks. Yeah. And that seems like such an easy solution to some of the problems that I'm having. So that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. I mean, an Everton defensive double up seems a little risky because I don't really trust that defense.
No.
But you'd be hoping that you would get enough attacking points from both of those guys that it wouldn't. I mean, Baines actually looked pretty good from an attacking perspective in the Middlesbrough game as well.
Excellent pronunciation of Middlesbrough. By the
way. Tried. Yeah, Middlesbrough. I think, right?
Good. It's
with the Z, Middlesbrough.
I'm going to isolate that audio that you just said, and we will overlay that over any time we mention the burger, and we'll be fine.
Sanchez, I still think I'm going to keep, but I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah. The one loophole I have with Alexis is that I don't have any value tied up in him right now. I bought him at 11.8, you know, like 10 weeks ago, and he's dropped suddenly from 11.9 back to 11.8. So I have no money tied up in him. I could swap him out and get him back. It wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue, except you're not going to have that much money left. I mean, like, once you free up Alexis Sanchez, all that money is going to get redistributed, you know? And so it's not like you're suddenly going to be able to just do a like for like. To bring it back in, you're probably going to have to burn four or do it over the space of two or three game weeks or something.
Are
you know?
Telling me that the FPL won't let me set up an Alexis Sanchez trust in which I take my $11.8 million, I put it aside in a special lockbox, and the FPL lets it accrue interest, you know, for 3 weeks?
The one thing I will say, and again, we're getting like totally scattered here, and let's get to the Hail Cheater Super League in a second before we get really into the weeds here. But you know, wild cards are definitely on the table after game week 26. Would you say? I don't know. Maybe not game week 26. Maybe game week, I guess after game week 28, right? That's when they're really, I mean, unless we see like a tidal wave of upsets this weekend.
Yeah, so exactly. If it turns out that there are only three fixtures in game week 28, then I could see a case to be made to just completely dismantle your team over the next two game weeks to just load up on whatever six teams are playing,
right,
and then wild card out of game week 28, and hope and pray that some double game weeks have been at least alluded to, if not announced by then.
Right. And it wouldn't even necessarily matter. I mean, we'll know, for example, that if Arsenal have if they miss two fixtures, then they'll have two double game weeks, right? So that's true. Can just triple up on those players, and you can do the same thing with Man United players. And then you're just loaded up and you're ready to, you're ready when the double game weeks come.
Josh, people aren't used to hearing this much strategy this early on in the Hail Cheater podcast. Let's talk about the Hail Cheater Super League. We'll start as we've now established as a tradition, starting from 10th place, working up to number one. You want to take it this week, Josh?
No, I'm still recovering from the cold, so I don't think I can do it without coughing through like half these names.
Laid up with injury, Josh is. So, okay, real quick, starting at 10, we have Acuna Wanmata, Eddie Pereo's team, scored 56 points on the game week. 9th place, the Hebrew Hammer, Moshe Davidovich. 8th place, A-team, Harshan Badawala, still slipping down the ranks. Former number one is down in 8th place. 7th, it's Bricklayers, Cyril Anders squad. In 6th place, it's David Fellheim's The Cuddly Koalas. Clichy's Clean Sheets moving up to 5th place, Fabio Borges' squad. In 4th place, it's Kieran McArdle's The Wire, who mirrored my point, 69. Well done, Kieran. Great minds think alike. 3rd place, it's Jake Kinyard's team, Laro. 2nd place, still Barthwatha Helgnesson, holding in there at 2nd place is Reykjavik Runners squad. Even though he had a really low point total of 45. Mm-hmm. Bart, we know you can do better than that. And in 1st place, sticking it out for another week, it's Patrick Connolly and his Eat the Kapoo. Totally, well done, 1,541 points on the week.
Very impressive. A couple other leagues, just quickly. The AZ Showstoppers, which we don't talk about, perhaps not as often as we should. The head-to-head league that we started after the beginning of the season. We do some Facebook updates, but
I guess for all the listeners, the Showstoppers head-to-head league like kind of immediately got walled off. So we don't want to rub
out of space. But just quickly, the top three: Luke Maunders, Pinky and De Bruyne is in first. Arvidas Jabronis, William Brindley is in second, and Europa Dope Ian Stimson is in third. So yes. Well done to you three.
A special shout out to Jeff Petter, who was in first place and then dipped down to fourth after taking an L this week.
But don't feel too bad, because Jeff Petter is second in the AC second half league. Cyril Anders is still in first, and Andrew Popp is in third in that league. So well done to the second half leaguers. And
how do I get into the second half league, Josh?
still go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/alwayscheating. We continue to get new pledges, and it's really, really pretty awesome. And we've gotten a lot of nice notes. And Brian and I have actually already been talking about what we're going to do for the next exclusive podcast. We did one. We did a Patreon exclusive right at the start of the second half of the season, and we're planning to do another one sometime in the next couple of weeks. So we will update you guys on that. But yeah, patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can find out
what happened with the Suicide League this week.
Everyone won, so we are still at three people in the Suicide League. Yeah, so update on that to come.
All right, guys. It was generally, I think, a good week for everyone if you made the right captain choice, which is, you know, never the easiest thing to do. But related to that, we had a few meltdowns on the Always Cheating social media feeds. Dion says, "I captain Jesus, and I might cry." I mean, I think everyone kind of thought, well, Bournemouth is just completely woeful in defense. City seemed like a great team to captain going into this game week, and you just cannot legislate for these injuries that happen to players.
I think that if he had not gone down injured, there's a very good chance he would have scored once or twice, and it's just bad luck.
TJ also tweeted at us saying, "Captain Delonzo, that's about it." And man, yeah. I mean, I would have bet money on a clean sheet for Chelsea against Burnley, but this. It's just a gamble.
Have you ever captained a defensive player?
No.
In all your years of playing?
No, I haven't.
I don't think I have either.
I'm a coward. Yeah.
Neither. Even like in a game week 38 where everything's locked up, I don't think I'd do it.
We have one more meltdown here, Josh.
Fat Gorilla says, "I've dropped 180K in 2 weeks. Save me." Now, I don't know if he's talking about kilograms or if he's talking about
he's been cursed thinner.
He's a thinner-esque curse. Well, we can't save you, Fat Gorilla, because much like Uatu the Watcher, our role is to observe and possibly point at trouble on the horizon.
It's true.
Do you even get that reference, Brandon? Do you know who Uatu the Watcher is?
I mean, no. Is that an X-Men thing?
It's a Fantastic Four thing. So
okay,
it's a Marvel Universe thing generally.
I think that's fantastic. I think
you don't know Uatu. He's a big bald guy. Lives on the moon.
Yeah, somehow. I'm sure if you showed me a picture of Uatu, I'd remember him.
Okay.
I've never been a comics guy. I read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for a few months, and that was about it.
I have tried to sell you on Marvel Unlimited a couple times, and it hasn't really worked.
I mean, we could go down a comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I think we should.
I'll just say it's the perfect late night reading. If it's like 1 a.m. and you can't sleep, reading some comics on your iPad is the perfect thing to do.
A big bald guy who lives on the moon. I think that's a perfect segue to a break, and then we'll come back and we're going to take some listener questions.
All right, sounds good.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're on to the second half of the podcast. Second half of the podcast this week is a grab bag of topics. First topic is Jesus is injured. Low Techer says, "Is it bad that I'm glad Jesus is injured? Am I going to hell?"
You should never take joy, Low Techers, in other people's pain. But I don't think you're going to hell, frankly, because I don't believe in hell. So,
what I will say, you're Jewish, right? This is one thing.
With a name like Kelly, you know it.
One thing I will say is, I wasn't totally devastated. It's kind of like cigarettes in the same way. I feel like a lot of times this season I have captained somebody and they've gone off and every other captain choice has also done really well. And I didn't really have a chance to like climb the ranks at all.
Yeah.
So for once I was glad to captain a player who did very well just for my overall rank, for the sake of my own self-esteem, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So Low Techers, I'm with you, actually. I feel a little bad about being happy that Jesus was injured.
I feel a little fortunate, too, about the Sigurdsson captaincy, because the way Swansea looked against Leicester City that first half, you would have assumed in the second half that there would be more goals for the Swans.
Yeah, great pass. That assist was fantastic.
Oh, it was so good. I think so. Tom Carroll still remains an interesting prospect. He's, you know, no blanks. He's very cheap. And he had a lot of touches in the midfield. He also had a lot of errant passes. He was making a lot of mistakes. He was showing he's just a really young player, a really great but really young player. So I'm waiting to see what Swansea looks like when Tom Carroll has a really great game, because I think him linking with Sigurdsson a little bit like they did on that Olsen goal, they could.
Do you have any thoughts on Mahrez's Michu like fall from grace? Yeah. We are seeing Michu too, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess it is Michu too, the reckoning.
Yeah.
I have to apologize for a few things. I like totally got my predictions of Sunday fixtures completely wrong. Like I thought Leicester would come up and put up a draw worthy fight against Swansea, but they absolutely capitulated.
I know they may have to fire Ranieri, which is so sad, but it might have to happen. I mean, right. This happened with Mourinho last year, you know, where they didn't want to do it, but I mean, how many games can you lose in a row?
I never thought I'd say that Leicester would regret selling Jeffrey Schlupp, but I think there is a Schlupp-sized hole in that Leicester City squad right now.
I know. The defense is really – it looks so bad. I mean, no, that whole back line needs to be replaced. I mean, even Christian Fuchs, who I really like, did he drink water too? I mean, I don't know what is – it can't just be Conte, can it? I mean, I know this has nothing to do with fantasy really now, but it can't just be – it can't just be that they lost Conte, right? There's got to be like some
– I don't see
– something missing there.
I don't see why it can't just be Conte, because it's clear there's no strength in that midfield. Mark Albrighton is totally invisible. But yeah, Drinkwater was still the guy who was playing all of those Hollywood balls to Jamie Vardy. And right. Jamie Vardy, you know, obviously, as we all know, scored 11 goals in consecutive matches, and he cannot hit the side of a barn right now. Like, he had a couple of chances against Swansea and just couldn't. There's no confidence.
Salmini is the only guy who seems like capable of scoring.
Yeah, and Mahrez did play a really nice through ball in to Salmini. There was that one moment for Mahrez. But, yeah, they may need a new manager to come in there and just shake up the lineup and get the most out of some of those younger players.
Yeah. FPL Cat says, what will be the optimal time to triple captain, and on whom will be best to use it? That's just a bit early still.
It is early, but I think you were right mentioning earlier, Josh, keeping an eye on who's going to blank in game week 28, because if it is... Oh, we're having a blank in 26 for Arsenal, and they could blank again. And, you know, well, there'll be at least one double game week for Alexis Sanchez. And I triple captained Alexis Sanchez last season, and I think I got 3 goals out of him. Perfect candidate right there.
Yeah, that was an amazing game week. I triple captained Aguero that same game week, although I had Alexis on my team as well. And I think the average score was like 152 or something like that game week.
Yeah, Kat, definitely save the triple captain for a double game week. And you want to go for like a proven striker or attacking midfielder. I mean, who else do I think would be?
It's too early to tell.
I would look at a team like Spurs. If Spurs are able to get back into gear, Harry Kane or Dele Alli would be good options. I mean, Kane being on penalties. You like somebody on penalties, and now Alexis Sanchez is even more appealing now that he's taking all these penalties. That is even more of an assurance.
I mean, the easy answer is just Alexis Sanchez at some point.
Yeah.
Right? God. He plays 90 minutes every game.
Yeah.
You know, healthy or not.
All right, Trevor Ingerson, our good friend T-Dog, sends us a message. If you could go back to the beginning of the season, what advice would you give yourself for this season? Hashtag cheaters never learn. All right, Josh, so you're going back to early, mid-August, even late August, after a couple of game weeks. What are you thinking?
So the mistake that I make at the start of a lot of these seasons is, you know, Brandon, we're on Twitter and Facebook and reading websites and, you know, picking up all this content and thinking about, you know, players to bring in. And I think sometimes that we're so in this world that at least I take this thinking to be mainstream thinking, that this is how all 4 million managers are thinking about the game, as opposed to it just being a handful of 3,000 to 5,000 people, right? Like it's a small group of people.
People who think about nothing but FPL and Marvel Unlimited subscriptions.
But who are very smart, and these people are not the opposition. These are people who I should be listening to and taking advice from. And I shouldn't be trying to outsmart the people who are really playing the game well. Yeah. I should be taking their advice more often.
If you outsmart all of them, you'll be number one in the world, which would be awesome, but not likely.
Right. And so I have this tendency sometimes to want to like zig when everyone else is zagging, but I've got it all wrong, you know, and I end up basically putting myself into like a conventional train of thinking where I'm not picking up the differential options because that's what these guys, I don't know. So it's like I just outthink myself a little bit, and I don't take good advice when it's there, and I don't pick up players as early as I should, because I'm like, oh, everyone's already on that player, you know, like there's no value to be had there because everyone's on, you know, whomever, you know, Marcus Alonso.
Is that a temptation to swing big as opposed to take the other advice, which is your differential should just be on the margins?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is, yeah, it is swinging big. I want to, you know, I want to be like I want to win the leagues, and I want to be recognized for like the creative decisions I make. It's like just winning isn't enough for me, you know. Yes. It's like I want to win your way.
I want to win my way.
Exactly.
You're the Pep Guardiola of the FPL.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, if it doesn't work and you can't like get on board with the conventional thinking, then or at least the insider thinking, whatever, what the smart people are saying, then you can really start to tumble down the ranks, which is definitely what happened to me the first half of the season.
Yeah, I don't think I've made any rotten decisions along those lines of the season, but what has really tripped me up is getting used to the new value price algorithm this season. Mm-hmm. And you just look at a guy like Etienne Capoue. I remember having this discussion with Trevor, who was actually asking this question, where we brought in Capoue and he didn't score a goal for like the first week in a month. And we both commiserated and said, well, at least we'll make money off of him because everyone is still going to be bringing this guy in based on the form tables. And and then I just sat on him. I thought, well, he's just money in the bank. And I totally missed the fact that a month later he just totally plummeted in value. And I've seen this happen with a few of my players, and now my team value is cratered. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think if I had any regret this season, it's not playing the value market as quickly as I should have.
Yeah, me too. It's a mistake I often make.
I've been too patient. I think you start the season, you're a little more sort of, you're just a little more on it, and you're able to make decisions more quickly. And there was a lot of uncertainty a month into the game, and I think I started putting off my transfer decisions until Friday night. And I, you know, bit point one by point one, my team value just started to.
I also think I was going for a really balanced midfield for a long time, as opposed to more top heavy midfield. A lot of people were bringing in, you know, two Liverpool midfielders and Alexis Sanchez early on. And I was still trying to find this like kind of middle path where I had players like Antonio and Raheem Sterling and, you know, a lot of like the 6 and 7 million players. And it would have been better off, I think, just going with the players who were like just really tearing it up the first, you know, 10 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Interested to hear from you guys about what your biggest regrets are so far this season. I mean, this season is not over yet. We still have, what, like
13 weeks to go.
Yeah. But yeah, hit us up on Twitter @HailCheaters or on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating, if you have any regrets. This next question is directed squarely at you, Josh, from Luke Thunberg. He asks, think we need a Stanislaus discussion, especially for people with Ibra still in their team.
Yeah. And I think the question here is, you know, basically, if you don't think that Stanislaus can just play, and the idea was that you could, you know, basically have three, you could have Ibra, Sanchez, whomever on your bench, and then you'd still field a full 11.
Yeah.
excuse me. Now it looks like he's just not totally out of favor, which is very frustrating because you never want to replace a player at that price range. I mean, I guess I'm probably just going to stick with Stanislaus.
What's
Stanislaus'
value?
It's like 5.2, 5.3. 5.3. It's not very high.
Yeah. What about James Morrison, Josh? Can I sell you on a James Morrison today?
Well, the problem is you're just not going to get enough money for that move, you know. And so, I think I'm probably still going to make the moves. At the very least, I'm going to make the Ebert Acosta move, mm-hmm. Maybe I'll make another move. Maybe I won't. I just don't know that I don't think I'd burn four, because I don't know that anybody I could bring in that I would replace him with would get me the points that I would. That I would drop from the 4 points I would drop for dropping him, right? So, although I guess if you're talking about 0 points, then all you need is someone to get you 4 or 5 points to justify it. But at that price range, it's kind of tricky. I mean, I guess someone like Victor Moses actually sticks out Moses at home to Swansea. That's a good chance he'd get 4 or 5 points.
I don't know, against Alfie Mawson, the greatest defender in the Premier League right now.
I mean, you got to think there's a good chance he's going to get at least 3 points, right? So if you don't think the Stanislaus is going to play at all, then absolute worst case scenario, you burn four to turn Stanislaus into Moses, you lose 1 point, right? And if he gets you anything, an assist, a goal, whatever, then the transfer's worth it. So, you know, it might be worth the risk. Vlad Bugos says, "Hail cheaters. I was just wondering whether there's a name for a fear I have, the fear of one of my FPL starters not starting in real life. For this round, it might be called Monrealophobia. Have mercy."
Vlad has got cheater speak down, and I do appreciate that. Was Monreal injured? Kieran Gibbs was not one of the shining lights for the Arsenal.
No, I think that he was maybe resting him for the Champions League fixture.
Okay.
He does that sometimes. Sometimes he'll rest his fullbacks. So I wasn't totally surprised that happened. Thankfully, I dropped Monreal the week before for Seamus Coleman.
Vlad, speaking of these fears, it reminds me of a premonition I had about Arsenal going into this weekend. It was Thursday night, and it wasn't quite a lucid dream, but it was a very vivid dream of Theo Walcott running very fast down the right-hand flank and scoring a goal. And I had this feeling that I didn't have this dream for no good reason, that Walcott was definitely going to score. He got a yellow card instead. And played less than 70 minutes. It didn't look that good. No, he looked terrible. It did look terrible. We all know that
feeling, though. It's, you know, it's a minute before, you know, on the East Coast here in the States, it's before the 10 o'clock fixtures, right? So it's like 8:59. And, you know, they start rolling in the lineups. And I don't know about you, but it's like my like heart is always in my throat as I like look at all the lineups. You know, I'm always just so nervous for,
you read the lineup and for whatever reason, you just gloss over that player's name and you think it's not there. And
oh, totally. Yeah. Because sometimes they're weird. They're not in order, you know, or it's the numbers are strange.
Vlad, if you think that's bad, let's talk about this. This has happened to me at least once with Edin Dzeko, where it was a gamble to get him into the starting 11, and he was announced in the starting 11. And then there's an injury during the warm-up, and he gets pulled before the game starts. So
I happened to a player on my team this year, on my fantasy team. I can't remember who that was now, but that is the worst feeling.
Yeah, moving on, Juicy Caria says, "Confused about these upcoming blanks, what to do with Alexis and Ibra? Hold on for now, or perhaps get Mane and Costa instead before prices go down on Ibra and Alexis." So we touched upon a few of these issues, but we haven't talked about Sadio Mane, who had an amazing game against Spurs. And say you had a little bit in your bank, he's somebody that you could easily turn a guy like Dele Alli into. How are you feeling about Liverpool considering the fixtures that are coming up?
Well, I mean, I don't love the Arsenal fixture. I know they just – so they play Leicester away in game week 26, and then they play Arsenal at home in game week 27. The Leicester fixture is fine. I'm sure they'll win that game. The Arsenal fixture, I think, is a little tougher. It's not that I don't think that they'll win that game, but I don't necessarily see him. Although, I mean, he scored a fantastic goal the first match of the season, right, at home to Arsenal. So, at the Emirates.
Yeah, it was like a great solo effort, too. You would like Liverpool, though, for game week 28, assuming Burnley loses to the esteemed Lincoln City in the FA Cup next weekend. So if Liverpool's looking at playing during the trepidatious game week 8, I mean, an early Liverpool transfer, not a bad option.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what, like, problem that solves, really, other than it solves your problem for 1 week, I guess, but I don't know. And then they play Man City away in game week 29. So if they don't play in game week 28, then it's Man City away, and that's Everton at home, which is also not a fantastic fixture. I mean, that's a derby fixture. So I don't know. I mean, fixtures aside, I still don't know how to feel about this Liverpool team, right? I mean, they looked amazing in this 2-0 win. I mean, they absolutely destroyed Spurs.
Yeah.
Spurs never looked in it. But this is the same Liverpool team that lost 2-0 away to Hull last week. So, I mean, like, one game, all of a sudden, like, we're totally convinced that they've, like, you know, turned everything around.
It could cut both ways. The week off, because they don't play in the FA Cup, it could be good because they'll be rested. They'll have a lot of training under their belt. But also, you come off of a great game, and you want to keep that form going,
right?
In
exactly.
Actual matches, so it is a question mark as to which team is going to show up in game week 26.
Yeah, exactly.
Of all these players, I guess Diego Costa is looking to be the best bet going into game week 26.
So this is a question we talked about a little bit for the podcast. And actually, I guess two people kind of asked the same question. So James Drury, our friend from the surgery podcast, says, who is the best option to change Sanchez out for, or is it best to hold? Now, I've already said I'm planning to hold Sanchez. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not a Gylfi Sigurdsson owner, so the thing that's most appealing to me is Sigurdsson. This is another thing that I need to apologize to Ken Rooney for two things. I think it was that Ken predicted that Swansea was going to blow Leicester out, and also Ken had got on my back a long time ago for poo-pooing Sigurdsson when he was going through his dry spell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, I get it. I see Sigurdsson as a great FPL asset now, particularly going into game week 26. I love the idea of getting Sigurdsson in for Sanchez, and then I end up with, you know, like at least $5 million in my pocket to spend elsewhere and beef up another midfielder. So is it Sigurdsson who's the best bet? I mean, we said before that Hazard, neither of us are that interested in picking him up.
Yeah, I mean, Pedro possibly too, right? I mean, he's a very good form, very affordable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There just isn't any big heavy hitter like with a high price tag like Kevin De Bruyne. Is the only other Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard, I guess, would be the two that stand out as really high priced midfielders that, mm-hmm. In terms of price tags, seem like a straight swap for Sanchez.
Right.
But neither of them, I think, look like really hot prospects. You know, De Bruyne has just been very cold for
totally, for and not at his price. Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like the great benefit of getting Sanchez out is to beef up your team somewhere else. And mm-hmm. if you don't think you need to beef up anywhere, then just keep Sanchez.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
All right. Scott Gilshannon chimes in. Does Hazard get another chance if you have Sanchez? So we just touched on that, Scott, in that. No, neither of us are buying what Hazard is selling.
Yeah, it's too mercurial for me. Siraj Garich says, hashtag Team Evans or Team McCauley? We're both Team Evans, as we've established.
Yeah, I'm weirdly Team Evans, even though I literally am Team McCauley.
Also, what are your thoughts on West Ham midfielders, given their good fixtures?
I was looking, I don't know if I was playing somebody in head-to-head recently, or I just was looking at somebody's team, but they had Mikel Antonio in their side, and I thought, oh, he's a fun player.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done anything except he had a game.
The one game with the three assists.
Yeah, right. And that was right before Snodgrass came in. But still, I mean, Snodgrass does make it a little more appealing given how great Antonio is as a header of the ball, but he's not been that involved.
Yeah, Lanzini, I guess, is the one who stands out, right? He's he's 6.3 million. He's taken on a more prominent role, it seems, with Payet out. He's got 2 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 games. 9 points, 9 points, and 13 points are 3 of his 5-point hauls. He also had 2 1-pointers around that.
He also makes me think of the classic double game weeks last season, where I think Lanzini was a pickup that a lot of people made because West Ham.
I had him. Yeah, I think I got one. I got like 1 assist over 3 game weeks or something.
Yeah, he does have a streaky way about him, but there is. I feel like there is some. Everyone can kind of sense there's something going on. Bilic is super fired up. West Ham is quietly creeping back up into the top half of the table.
Obiang is super cheap, 4.4 million. He did pick up 13 points in game week 24. So
that was a crazy goal that he scored that went through with like about 11 different players to get into the
goal. Yeah. Snodgrass is, we talked about him last week a little bit. I like his price a lot. I guess I want to see a little bit more. I mean, he might end up on my team over the next couple game weeks, but I'm still not like 100% sold on Snodgrass.
Yeah, agreed. But still, I'm a little bullish on West Ham right now, even though they have Chelsea coming up. I like their midfield going forward. Last question comes from Nick, our good friend Trigger Lips from the Transfer Hub blog, which is fantastic, and you guys should all go check it out, where you can also find the Always Cheating podcast. So our friend Nick asks, any mention of Gabby Adini, the great wunderkind over at Southampton? He's the new Charlie Austin. He's got a Charlie Austin price, and he's delivering Charlie Austin returns. And so he's got the Pele nationhood status.
The thing about Gabbadini is I just haven't seen him play yet. Have you actually seen him play?
I mean, I've seen the highlights, so yeah, I don't have any great idea of how he looks off of the ball.
Yeah, I just don't have a line on him yet. You know, I like the price. I like his performance. I mean, he's I know he's a 25-year-old striker, comes from Italy. I think he was part of the Juve system at some point, and it's very much like Premier League 2016 that like a team like Southampton just can acquire a 25-year-old, starter or at least player on the Italian national team. You can't argue with 3 goals in 2 games.
The problem is he's blanking in game week 26 and he's like coming into our minds at exactly the wrong time. Like he would be a slam dunk transfer if Southampton weren't blanking in 26 and they're scheduled to play Manchester United in game week 28. And of all the Premier League teams that I think should be a lock to win their FA Cup fixture, it could be Manchester United.
Right. And then in 29 Spurs away. So I guess if a short-term punt would be those game weeks 30 through 32, but which by then we'll have a better read on him too. I mean, maybe he turns into some fixture proof Charlie Austin type player,
Yeah. So you would think if Gabby Adini is shooting up in value going into game week 26, I wouldn't worry about it too much because he'll probably get sold back down to where he is now.
Could end up being a good double game week player.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're loading up in the midfield.
Excellent. Do we have any other questions?
That's it. We ran through them all.
Okay. Let's take a quick break and then we're going to come back and make some predictions about these FA Cup fixtures coming up.
All right, let's do it. Same old podcast,
always cheating. All right, Joshua, everything hinges for game week 28 on what's going on in the FA Cup. So Saturday, February 18th, these Premier League squads will be playing.
Right.
Burnley hosts Lincoln City. Never heard of them. Huddersfield Town is hosting Manchester City. Middlesbrough hosts Oxford.
Possible upset there.
Possible.
Huddersfield Town's been pretty good this year. They're in the championship. They're coached by a Jurgen Klopp disciple.
Wow, they're dropping some Huddersfield knowledge. Well done, Josh. The Burger hosts Oxford United. Leicester will be away to Millwall. That might be...
That's probably a loss.
Yeah, it could be a loss for the Foxes. And then Chelsea are away at Wolverhampton. Of these fixtures, you're saying maybe Manchester City could be headed for an upset?
It's unlikely, but I think the surest upset here is Millwall, if it's even an upset, Millwall over Leicester City.
On Sunday, February 19th, Fulham at Craven Cottage is going to host the London rivals Tottenham Hotspur. Not a huge rivalry, but still a London derby.
Yeah, you're going to watch this one?
I should. There's a good Fulham NYC group that meets often at the Football Factory. So if any Fulham fans are listening who are here stateside, let me know. And then Manchester United is playing Blackburn Rovers. We were talking a little bit about the depth of these Premier League squads, and of course they're all far deeper than the lower league squads that they're playing. Mm-hmm. But Manchester United, they weirdly have this great bench that they could throw at Blackburn.
Oh, totally. Yeah, exactly. Schweinsteiger's going to take them all down.
But just even guys like a defense with Darmian and Rojo, who both have been losing minutes recently, you can feel them. They're very strong defenders. Marcus Rashford will probably deserve a start. You've got Wayne Rooney that can come out, and assuming he's healthy, and do some damage against Blackburn. So I feel like United are going to walk through this fixture.
Yeah, and then Sutton United, Arsenal. It wouldn't shock me if Sutton found a way to win that game. No. I guess if I were going to predict one upset outside of the Leicester Millwall match, I would predict Huddersfield defeating Manchester City. Manchester maybe wouldn't take them seriously enough. I don't know. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, and City is under a lot of pressure. I mean, maybe to make a title challenge, but also just to solidify the top four status.
Right. Exactly. And they have Champions League too, so
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll know more. We'll be back next week to discuss more what actually happened this weekend, so we'll know who's playing in Game Week 28. That's going to help us make informed transfers going into 26.
That's right. Well, this is kind of a scattered episode, but hopefully people enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week with a more solid look at the weeks to come. And actually, we'll know more, too, next week about Game Week 28, so we'll be ready to talk about that in depth, too.
All right, gang. Don't forget to subscribe. Always Cheating. We're on iTunes, where you can give us a rating and review if you like what you hear. We're on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn FM, wherever it is you get your podcasts.
You can also find us on Twitter. Twitter is at Hail Cheaters, facebook.com/alwayscheating, and you can send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can also support the podcast on patreon.com/alwayscheating, and Brandon, my throat is officially about to go, so I'm signing myself off right now.
Oh, he's gone, and I'll say Hail Cheaters!
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.